Stone and Alex McGulkin. And also for Dr. Brian Sand and his quintet that's been entertaining you for the last half hour or so. Bienvenue, welcome for the law convocation. My name is David Harp, I'm University Marshal, and as such, I get to have about 4 minutes of your time before the platform party arrives. And lest I be tempted to play Frisbee, I'm going to take that off. And it's rare that I get this many legal minds in one place. I'm not in trouble, and I hope not to be, but just in case. I want to get all of you. Storing information and where you live is a very complicated business. Excellent. We've had quite a week, as you may know. This is the third venue for our convocation. The first one, there was lawn mowing going on because it was just before the ceremony began at Mac campus. And then for the last 4 days, we've been over at the Bell Center. And as such, that was pretty interesting because that meant that all of those graduates and myself and the faculty were able to be in center ice briefly for just a little while. And it was really quite nice overall. I have one announcement to make for the class of 2012 for leaving a legacy at McGill. The legacy through class action 2012 OMG. Now that doesn't stand for the usual, it's Our McGill Greenhouse. And $16,000 has been raised for this, giving students healthier food options, and the McGill Alumni Association, and there should be a desk outside here, is giving one lucky graduate a $1,500 travel voucher to leave McGill in style. And I guess in style means if you're on the West Coast, you can go first class if you want to. If you're on the West Island, you can go back and forth maybe 30 or 40 times, I'm not sure. So stop by the table at the alumni reception to enter the draw. It should be, and we've already had about 3,000 who have entered the draw on that particular point. Today should go very smoothly. There's not 540 graduates as there was in Arts 2 and another 540 in Arts 1 yesterday, but today it should be fairly smooth. What I would ask you all to do, you graduates, please take your lineup cards and split them right now, just so that it's done, and put them between two fingers, preferably your thumb and forefinger. Don't let go of them, don't put them in your pockets, and please don't leave them on your seat. That's going to be difficult to come back into the row overall. So when you come up to the stage, there will be a marshal standing just to the right of the reader. Give your card to the marshal will then give it in turn right side up to the reader, and then your name will be called, and you will walk across the stage, and as you will hear from the provost, you will be tapped or capped, one of the two, depending on your degrees, and walk across the stage overall and receive on this side, the down here on your right, the far right, you will receive your diploma and make a congratulations by the dean. Oh, and one other, I hope, helpful announcement. Please, parents, friends, relatives, hangers-on, and others, please don't rush down the center aisle for photographs. There's going to be a photograph taken of your graduate by a professional photographer, and you will be able to see all of this taking place on the screen. There's plenty of time for photographs afterwards, and as far as I'm concerned, you can, at the end of the ceremony, when everybody's kind of filtered out, you can come up on stage and take photographs as well, just to make it all work out. We shouldn't have too long a session today, but there is going to be a speech by the dean. He's an eloquent individual, and I hope he won't be too long. He's often asked to be around 8 or 10 minutes, and there will be an honorary degree, as I think you well know. I see that the University Piper, Jeff McCarthy, is in place, and I would ask him to rev up the pipes and ask them to come forward and ask you, levez-vous, s'il vous plaît, for the platform party.
Thank you, Professor Purdy. Good morning, graduating students, your families, friends, ladies and gentlemen, bonjour à tous. On behalf of McGill University, I would like to welcome you to the 2012 convocation ceremony of students graduating from the Faculty of Law. Now, as the 18th Chancellor in the 190-year history of McGill, I embrace the tradition of opening these proceedings with a very brief address. Some of my predecessors have referred to this introduction as a word of advice. I prefer a less lofty description and refer to this as simply something to think about. Before arriving at today's convocation, all of you have given considerable thought as to your future vocation. Some among you, of course, have yet to firm up your career aspirations and may be planning to continue studying, undertake volunteer community service, temporary work, or travel. Whatever it is you choose to do, there is an important parallel activity that you should consider. It is one I believe could enhance your career, or for those of you who are still undecided about your future, help you make the right choices. I raise this idea with you based upon my own vocational trajectory. It has to do with seeking a mentor who could inspire and hopefully guide you. Note that when I use the term mentor, I do not mean internationally recognized figures such as Nobel Prize-winning scientists, world-class architects, great musicians, or inspirational political figures. Rather, I am referring to those individuals whom we come across in our everyday lives and who have the capacity to help us see ourselves and our environment from a different perspective than our own habitual one. Sometimes we come across such individuals accidentally. Other times we choose to seek them out. Just by way of examples, this individual could be a former high school teacher, university professor, sports coach, a friend of the family, or a parent of a very close friend. In my own case, having a mentor has had a major impact on my quality of life. Instinctively, you may believe that approaching someone to become your mentor might be considered as an assault on their privacy. My experience, and those of others who have been fortunate to have mentors, is just the opposite. The right people are flattered, even honored, to be asked. J'ai fait des études de commerce et j'ai obtenu mon baccalauréat en commerce à McGill, puis ma maîtrise en administration des affaires à Harvard. J'ai travaillé 35 ans pour une grande entreprise très diversifiée, comme mes intérêts portaient essentiellement sur le commerce de détail et l'immobilier. Sans aucun rapport avec la médecine, il va sans dire que les scientifiques et la recherche médicale m'étaient aussi étrangères que les astronautes et les voyages dans l'espace. Pourtant, très tôt dans ma carrière, alors que j'étais encore dans la trentaine, j'ai fait la connaissance de plusieurs chercheurs en médecine. L'un d'entre eux est ensuite devenu mon mentor. Cette collaboration et cette amitié m'ont amené à faire du bénévolat dans le domaine médical et, en particulier, à agir en faveur de la recherche médicale. My business life came to an abrupt halt much sooner than I'd either hoped for or anticipated. However, by then, I had become so well acquainted and involved in health research, healthcare delivery, and health information technology, almost all as a serious hobby, that I was able to move easily into what became and still is the most rewarding and interesting part of my life. As I suggested earlier, something to think about. I would now like to welcome Professor Monroe Bloom, Principal and Vice Chancellor of McGill University, to address the audience. Madam.
Chancellor, Chairman, Chancellors Emeriti, Governors and Senators, our distinguished honoree, Professor Boa Ventura de Souza Santos, our Special Teaching Award winner, Professor Rod McDonald, esteemed colleagues, proud family and friends, and most important, graduating class of 2012, bonjour, bienvenue. As Principal and Vice Chancellor of McGill, it is my great privilege to welcome you all to this center for our special spring convocation. Graduates, today is a momentous day for you a day of celebration that we hope you will look back on and remember always. We know as McGill students you have worked very hard without question, but as tough as it may be from time to time to be a McGill student, it is sometimes even tougher to be the family members or closest friends of a McGill student. And so, graduating class, I ask you to join with me in expressing our appreciation to your family and friends. After all the hard work and sacrifices you have made to arrive here at your graduation, it is natural to regard today as a conclusion, a goal reached, a time for farewells. But today also marks the start of a new chapter in your lives. While here at McGill, you will without doubt have made lasting friendships and sought knowledge and learned from the most outstanding professors and students. You have experienced an environment where the exchange of ideas, and most importantly, provocative and controversial ideas, is encouraged, where we respect fundamentally our academic freedoms, and where we also welcome the responsibilities that accompany these great freedoms. The world, too, has changed since your first days here. We live in a very globally oriented and complex place, an age of ever-increasing mobility and connectivity. Votre passage à l'Université McGill et à Montréal vous a ouvert aux deux communautés culturelles et linguistiques des peuples fondateurs du Canada. Il vous a aussi permis de toucher à la richesse et à la complexité des enjeux qui caractérisent le monde qui s'ouvre aujourd'hui devant vous. Many of you will be thinking about where life will take you next and the choices you will make. You arrived here today as students of McGill, and you will leave it as alumni of your alma mater, the newest members of a McGill family of more than 220,000 living alumni worldwide, a family that includes our chancellor, our chairman, and in a few moments, our distinguished honorary degree recipient. Today, graduating students, you are participating in a tradition that predates the Canadian Confederation. McGill has been awarding degrees since 1833. For nearly two centuries now, then, this university has made its impact felt in every imaginable field of human endeavor, from law to music, engineering to the arts, nutrition and agriculture, the physical and medical sciences, the professions, and the social sciences. So as we celebrate you, class of 2012, we celebrate McGill, and most particularly, we celebrate our Faculty of Law. McGill's Faculty of Law has a long and distinguished history as the oldest faculty of law in the country. Law lectures were held at McGill College as early as 1829, and the faculty was officially created in 1848. Prominent graduates of McGill's law faculty include Sir Wilfrid Laurier, former Attorney General and human rights advocate Erwin Kotler, and Madam Justice Marie Deschamps, who will soon retire from the Supreme Court of Canada, to name but a very, very few. Today, the Faculty of Law boasts a unique and innovative approach to the study of law that is at the very vanguard of legal education. As Dean Daniel Jutra advances into his term, he leads with intelligence, a keen strategic sensibility, and a passion for his students and colleagues. With focused energy, he supports his faculty's interest and mission hand in hand with a magnificent faculty, staff, and students. This year, the Faculty of Law was ranked first in Canada and 12th amongst the world's law schools, underlining its legacy for world-class leadership in legal teaching and scholarship. Over the course of this past year, the faculty recruited a record number of new doctoral students, and five of our law students were selected as clerks to justices of the Supreme Court of Canada out of a total of 27 students selected from across Canada. Our beloved Professor Rod MacDonald received the McGill University Lifetime Achievement Award for Leadership in Learning at McGill's fall convocation. Professor Lionel Smith was elected a visiting fellow of All Souls College, Oxford, and Francois Crépeau, Oppenheimer Chair in Public International Law, was elected as the United Nations Special Rapporteur on the human rights of migrants for a 3-year mandate. And the Faculty of Law is collaborating with McGill's Teaching and Learning Center as it presses legal education under the leadership of Professor Tina Piper. The faculty continues to lead the way in philanthropy as well, with the loyal support of its alumni and friends, having raised $35 million in the years of McGill's current campaign. This generous support significantly contributes to the renewal of the faculty. 9 new professors will soon have been recruited, including 3 professors occupying endowed chairs named in honor of distinguished graduates, E. Forche, Peter Mackel, and Heward Steichman. Today, as we reflect on McGill's past, we also commit ourselves to its future. As we aim for both knowledge and practical solutions to the challenges facing society, we are reminded that the purpose of education is, as American social writer Eric Hoffer wrote, to produce not learned, but learning people, for it is the learners who inherit the future. Graduates, as we join today in celebrating you and your achievements, I also leave you with a challenge. Take up the mantle of leadership, along with our good fortune of living and studying in a peaceful democracy and a prosperous civil society, comes a very special responsibility to lead on what you believe in, on behalf of yourself and the society in which you live. When you act, continue to show a commitment and a concern for others as well as yourself. Over a lifetime of research, Pulitzer Prize-winning Harvard entomologist Edward Wilson discovered that goodness is an adaptive trait. Groups that work together and support each other outcompete and outlive their selfish counterparts. Trust your intuition. And finally, foster and value your integrity. Whatever else may confront you in life, whatever bad luck or disappointments may befall you, as happens from time to time for each of us, your personal integrity will never be taken from you. And graduating class of 2012, as you leave our convocation ceremony later today, know that as graduates of McGill, you will carry the good name of McGill everywhere you go, represent us well, make us proud, and stay in touch. You may be sure that we will stay in touch with you. And today, this is your day. Savor every moment of this special ceremony. Félicitations.
Thank you, Madam Principal. It now gives me enormous pleasure to invite Professor Hoi Kong to present the Faculty of Law's Distinguished Teaching Award to Professor Roderick MacDonald. Professor Kong.
Before the presentation of the Teaching Award, the law students of McGill University would like to make a gift to Professor MacDonald through the generosity of the Law Students Association. Madame la vice-chancelière, au fil des ans, certaines des personnes se trouvant sur le stade ce matin ont tenté à maintes reprises de convaincre le professeur MacDonald d'accepter le prix John W. Durnford d'excellence en enseignement. Il a toujours décliné cet honneur avec sa modestie habituelle. Class of 2012, you have done many remarkable things to arrive at this moment, and you will do still more remarkable things after you leave us today. But as of now, you can count among your many great accomplishments the fact that you managed to finally persuade Professor MacDonald to accept this award. Qu'est-ce que nous entendons par le professeur MacDonald est un grand professeur? Durant toute sa carrière, il a fait de vastes et profondes réflexions sur le droit. Each class, He puts his almost unimaginably vast knowledge into the service of helping students discover things about themselves and the world around them. Bien sûr, l'influence du professeur McDonald s'étend bien au-delà des murs d'une salle de cours, se manifestant dans le quotidien de la faculté de droit. The unsettled undergraduate student, uncertain about her future, and the colleague faced with a personal loss, have found in Professor McDonald a wise, generous, and compassionate counselor. And it is in these quiet moments, known only to those who share in them, that Professor McDonald's qualities as a teacher shine perhaps most brightly. Madam Vice Chancellor, distinguished guests, dear colleagues and class of 2012, it is these qualities of wisdom, generosity, and compassion that we celebrate today by awarding to Professor Roderick McDonald the John W. Durnford Prize for Teaching Excellence.
I now invite Dean Daniel Joutrin to present Professor Boaventura de Souza Santos, that he may have conferred upon him the highest recognition that is within the power of this university to grant. Dean Joutrin.
Mr. Chancellor, I have the honor of presenting to you a world-class scholar, an inspiring voice for global social justice, and a uniquely gifted activist and public intellectual, Professor Boaventura de Souza Santos. Writing for almost 50 years at the intersection of law, sociology, and philosophy, Boaventura de Souza Santos is one of the most distinguished critical thinkers in the world today. Sa production scientifique, près de 80 monographies et plus de 150 articles scientifiques, est publiée en 6 langues et redéfinit les contours du droit, de la globalisation, de la justice et du dialogue interculturel. Professor de Souza Santos is the conscience of the critical left and the hope of the global south. He has enlisted the frameworks of legal theory and radical sociology to better understand the key challenges of our contemporary societies, from the global financial crisis to the plight of indigenous populations, from the conditions of sustainable development to the reconfiguration of higher education and the future of the university. By any academic standard, Boaventura de Souza Santos is an intellectual giant. Professor de Souza Santos has been associated with the University of Coimbra in Portugal for over 55 years. Coimbra is where he took his first degree in law and where he took his first teaching position in the Faculty of Law. He is still at the University of Coimbra today as director of the Center for Social Studies and as professor of sociology in the School of Economics. But he now gravitates as well to the law school of the University of Wisconsin-Madison, where he is a distinguished legal scholar. He has taught as a visiting professor throughout Europe, the United States, Latin America, from Yale to the London School of Economics, and from Sao Paulo to the University of Warwick, where he holds the title of Global Legal Scholar. What is most striking about him, however, is that this extraordinary career as a scholar
is matched by an equally compelling life as an activist. His journey began in the favelas of Brazil, where he did field work in the late 60s. Since then, he has never stood on the sidelines. He is one of the key actors of the World Social Forum and a tireless advocate for global social justice, for the disenfranchised, the silenced, and the forgotten. He believes that another world is possible. Indeed, he believes that other worlds, in the plural, are possible. Le professeur de Sousa Santos incarne à plus d'un titre des valeurs chères à la faculté de droit de l'Université McGill. Ainsi, la faculté a fait du dialogue entre les traditions juridiques une mission fondamentale, s'appuyant sur la traduction comme vecteur d'une compréhension élargie du droit et de la justice. De son côté, le professeur de Sousa Santos est l'un des théoriciens les plus créatifs sur les questions de traduction et de dialogue interculturel. The Faculty of Law aspires to be relevant and connected to the world beyond the boundaries of the university. Professor de Sousa Santos is the paradigm of the intellectuel engagé. Students and professors at our faculty seek to redefine legal studies as a foundational discipline in the social sciences and humanities. Professor de Sousa Santos is, in turn, a poet, a philosopher, a sociologist, an anthropologist, and, yes, a lawyer too. Mr. Chancellor, for his remarkable contributions to sociolegal research and scholarship, his leadership in developing new knowledge beyond disciplines, his commitment to global justice, and his cosmopolitan, noble, and humanistic spirit, I respectfully present to you Professor Boaventura de Sousa Santos so that you may confer upon him the degree of Doctor of Law, honoris causa.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's my great pleasure to invite Dr. Boaventura de Sousa Santos to deliver the convocation address.
Chancellor Arnold Steinberg, Principal Adam Monroe Bloom, Mr. Stuart Covert, Chair of the Board of Governors, Professor Daniel Dutrois, Dean of the Faculty of Law, members of the faculty. Chers étudiants, devant vous, je me souviens du temps en que, à votre âge, le français était ma seconde langue. Quand j'ai croisé les Pyrénées pour la première fois en 1963, entrant pour Berlin-Ouest, où j'allais étudier la philosophie du droit, à la faculté, à l'Université libre de Berlin, je ne pourrais jamais imaginer que le français deviendrait un jour ma troisième langue, après l'anglais et l'espagnol, à peine suivi par l'allemand. My linguistic journey tells you a lot about my scientific interests of the years. Portuguese, French, and German were the mother tongues of my training in law, legal science, jurisprudence, and philosophy of law. English was the mother tongue of my training in sociology with a specific focus on the sociology of law. And all of them were joined by Spanish, where my epistemological, theoretical, and political concerns as a critical sociologist of law led me to become a compagnon de route of social movements in Latin America, struggling against social injustice, in defense of their ancestral territories, clean water, communal land and biodiversity, food sovereignty, wealth redistribution and social and economic rights, all of them inspired by the utopia that another world is possible. I mention this to you for two reasons. The first one has to do with diversity. the world is not as globalized as it presents itself to the casual eye. Globalization conveys very often the false idea of homogeneity, as if the internet, and more generally, the information and communication technologies, have translated all the relevant existence of the world into one single language and had universalized its cultural premises. In fact, this is not so. Besides the fact that there are many different languages recognized as English, most people in the world do not speak English at all and run their lives according to non-Western cultural premises. Indeed, the understanding of the world by far exceeds the Western understanding of the world. If you happen to work as a lawyer or a business person in Latin America, Africa, or Asia, not to speak of Canada, you may be confronted with terms and concepts that, however legally binding and specially and specifically mentioned in the Constitution, cannot be rendered into English, or for that matter, into any colonial language. For instance, the concepts of summa causa and pachamama, which according to the Constitution of Ecuador of 2008, preside over all the public policies of the state. They are Quechua words, the main language of the indigenous peoples of the country, which only roughly can be translated as good living and Mother Earth, respectively. They convey non-Western cosmovisions and ways of life. Taking them into account, that is, acknowledging their existence and respecting their difference, even if we cannot understand them fully, may be a prudent exercise of learned ignorance, that supreme path of learning that the 15th century philosopher Nicholas of Cusa advised us to take. The awareness of the cultural and political diversity of the world has led me to develop concepts such as ecology of knowledges, intercultural translation, cosmopolitan reason, intercultural human rights, and legal pluralism. The second reason for my reference to my linguistic journey has to do with inequality. The world is diverse, but it is not equally diverse or diverse. We live in a world of extreme concentration of wealth, of very powerful corporations controlling state policies and international relations, of the overexploitation of natural resources, giving rise to justified concerns about the sustainability of the dominant development model. Such concerns will be voiced in the coming weeks in Rio de Janeiro during the People's Summit and the UN Conference on Sustainability, in short, the Rio+20. While doing research in Latin America, Africa, and Asia, you and me, we cannot ignore the cruel workings of power inequalities and their impact on the well-being and livelihoods of poor people. Just to give you an example, a few weeks ago, I witnessed the anxiety and the resilience of the women of Famatina, a small city in Argentina, fighting against a gigantic mining company, actually a Canadian mining company, whose project for open sky extraction of gold would irreversibly contaminate the scarce water, upon which their livelihoods and health and those of their children so much depend. As a committed sociologist of law, I felt the responsibility to share their struggle while at the same time keeping the critical distance and using the appropriate methodologies that the social sciences offer us to conduct our analysis. In other words, the scientific mandate to be objective does not entail the ideological mandate to be neutral. On the contrary, the world in which your professional life is going to unfold will increasingly force on you the following question: which side are you on? Do not put it aside. and do not let yourselves be paralyzed by it. Just experience it as the vital call and the warning of your full humanness in a world in which the humanity of some seems only to be possible at the cost of condemning many to the condition of subhumanity. I come from a continent, Europe, whose social cohesion and peace are in danger. I arrive in Montreal at a time in which social peace is also under stress. The question I just ask you to keep in mind in the case of social conflicts comes back to me. Which side am I on? In both contexts, Europe and here, I would be both on the side of the Constitution, of social and economic rights, of the right to free education, to freedom of assembly and protest, as long as this is done by peaceful means. And above all, I'm on the side, and I'm on the side very strongly, on the side of negotiation and social concertation, the precious social tools that seem to be collapsing in Europe. I very much hope that they won't collapse here or there. It all depends on us. Thank you.
Professor de Souza Santos, your brief but incredibly informative remarks, we thought that we had here in Quebec had exhausted discussion of language, but you have shown that we barely scratched the surface. But most importantly, the need for those, especially those who have been trained in law, not the need, the obligation, especially those who have been trained in law, to attempt to improve the lot of the world who are forced to live without the force of law. I think you've left us with a very important message. Thank you so much. We will now proceed with the conferral of academic degrees, and I call upon the Provost, Professor Anthony Massey, to commence the formal proceedings. Provost Massey.
Mr. Chancellor, I'm pleased and it is a privilege to invite students graduating this morning from programs of study in the Faculty of Law to come forward for the conferral of their degrees. Each student crossing the stage will be greeted by the Chancellor, the Principal, or the Chair of the Board of Governors. Students receiving their first degree shall remove their mortarboard or hat. At center stage, they should pause briefly to be symbolically capped. This signals ceremonially the conferral of their degree. Students who have already earned a degree will keep their mortarboard on, and they will be congratulated by a tap on the shoulder. All students and most parents will be happy to know that capping and tapping are usually done lightly. The parchment or degree itself is given to each student by a dean or delegate as she or he leaves the stage. As per McGill's custom and tradition, we begin with graduate students, followed by undergraduates. En vertu des pouvoirs qui me sont conférés par le Sénat de McGill, je déclare que les candidats dont le nom figure sur la liste des diplômés de l'université qu'ils soient présents ou absents, ont satisfait aux exigences de leur grade, diplôme ou certificat respectif. By virtue of the powers conferred upon me by McGill Senate, I declare that the candidates whose names appear on the university's official list of graduates, whether they be present or absent, have satisfied the requirements for their respective degrees, diplomas, or certificates. I now invite Professor Rosalie Jukier to introduce the graduates and Professor Meir Nahan, Associate Dean of Graduate and Postdoctoral Studies, to distribute diplomas to all graduate students, and Professor Daniel Jutra, Dean of the Faculty of Law, to distribute diplomas to all other students. Class of 2012, congratulations, félicitations.
It is my great pleasure to read the names of the students in this year's graduating class. Please note that prizes, scholarships, and honors earned by individual students are listed in your programs. Mr. Chancellor, for the degree of Doctor of Civil Law, Poku Adusai. Nelcy Lopez Cuillar. Thomas Bernard McMorrow. Jonathan Widell. For the degree of Master of Laws, Quan Wei Chen. Charles Paul Hoffman. Rudranshu Singh. Isabella Maria Vasila Georgi. And for the graduate certificate in Air and Space Law, Katsiarina Markvida. Mr. Chancellor, for the degrees of Bachelor of Civil Law and Bachelor of Laws, Seth Benjamin Abbey. Malcolm Khalil Aboud. Ashley Adams. Nora Sam Ahmed. Suzanne Rachel Amiel. Pascal Archambault Bouffard. Yasmin Askari. Jonathan Ross Asseltine. Ibrahim Attar. Dina Awad. Arthur Richard Albert Ayers. Firas Ayoub. Jeffrey Bruce Fagg. Joanna Barron. Alexander Carlos Barroca. Sarah Berger Richardson. Joseph Eric Berliofsky. Fang Zhou Bian. Randall Hardwin Blom. Tiffany Brianne Boisvert. Michael Ryan Bookman. Catherine Boutin. Luke Robert Brown. Charlotte Burns. Eloge Christian Butera. Benjamin Paul Carver. Aaron Cassidy. Nina Chamsi. Lucas Albino Colecchia. Catherine Coursol. Sophie Alexandra Courtois. James Desjardins. Jessica Drowen. Essan Emran. Anna Maria Enenajor, Principal David L. Johnston Medal. Carrie Ann Finley. Kiara Fish. Joseph Flowers. Daniel Jeremy Fambonne. Emily Bondoc. Louis Fouquet. Catherine Frémont. Charles Ryan Gallant. Catherine Marie Leeson Mercier. Annalise Leila Godberg. Matthew Gore. Rachel Hannah Gotthilf. Adela Gotts, Amy Jeffrion Medal. Amélie Gouin. Naomi Bianca Greckel Perlick. Jesse Gutman. Elena Alexandra Haba. Daniel Habusha. Jennifer Lauren Hancock. Sasha Hart. Shan He. Alexandra Emily Hobson. Marquise Lee Caroline Giselle Hull. Joanie Jacob. Allison Beth Jaskolka. Stephen Jegu. Anaïs Padian. Jonathan Ernest Katz. Daniel Morris King. Adam Klevinas. Anya Cortinar. Adam Marc Thomas La France. Robert La Rosa. Safia Jehan Lakhani. Ludovic Langlois Terrien. Ariane Lozier. Malcolm Michel Lavoie. François Lemoine. Vivienne Alexandra Lentz. Theo LaRue Blackburn. Marussia Levesque. Run Lee. Damien Joel Lightbound. Paula Frida Lobeck. Scott J. Lee Luong. Jeronine Laure Desjoies. Adela Martha Marchiewski Shear. Mari Tula Mimetz. Cassandra Ashley Marcotte, Elizabeth Torrance, Gold Medal. Nelly Marcou. Rodrigo Eric Marianca. Sarah Marsolet Ricard. Yeniva Massacoy. Yeah. Christopher Karen Mon. Jonathan Adam Mechanic. Jenna Lee Meff. Alexandra Meunier. Lisa Jan Middlemiss. Oscar Miklos. Andre Molchinski. Anthony Noel Morgan. Kerwin James Myler. Angela Navard. Connor Lawrence O'Neill. Corey Omer. Marc-Étienne Ouimet. Lauren Nicole Paget. Katrina Marie Kettle. Marie-Andrée Plante. Anna Emilia Poinaru. Céline Poitras. William Christopher Porter. Robert Quinn. Vincent Ranger. Courtney Megan Redder. Patrick Jean-Roy Reynaud. Sarah Gwendolyn Ross. Christina Soro. Mara Sawaf. Hinda Schechter. Michael Gerard Sherman. Ryan Schwartz. Kate Searle. Emma Siniatiki. Don Ray Simmons. Omar Solomon. Nikita Stepin. Chanel Steri. Jessica Sims. Yuri Nicolas Tessier-Stahl. Jerome Torres. Mariana Toseva. Amira Tufo. Marlene Jane Vanderspeck. Diana Vasilescu. Mara Verna. Ariane Noël Virginie Vincent. Corey Matthew Jesse Woolman. Krista Danielle Zeman. Richard Zuroff.
Thank you, Professor Jukier. It is now my pleasure to invite Mr. Alex DeBroda to deliver a few words as this year's valedictorian. I obviously I have last year's valedictorian. Why don't you introduce yourself? Charles Ryan Gallant.
I thought I was off the hook there for a second. Mr. Chancellor, members of the platform party, fellow graduates, and otherwise enumerated and analogous guests. Good morning. Bienvenue à la ligne d'arrivée d'un long et sinueux parcours. Nous avons la chance aujourd'hui de pouvoir prendre un de ces rares et brefs moments de répit alors que nous nous retrouvons à l'orée d'une nouvelle étape de nos vies. En cette journée de célébration grandiose et effrénée, je vous invite donc à prendre le temps de profiter pleinement de ces quelques moments. I've been given a short 2 to 3 minutes to sum up the bundle of our experiences and accomplishments here at McGill, and I intend on getting you all out of here on time, which by McGill law standards means I'll probably go about 5 minutes over and only cover half the material. Sorry if that breaks with decorum. The past few years have been filled with ups and downs and many new challenges, but throughout all, I've been absolutely blown away by my classmates since day one. The diversity and intellect of this group is astounding, and no matter where someone sits on an ideological or GPA scale, this is an incredible group of people. It is my inexpressible pleasure to stand here today and to share in this celebration with all of you. The most difficult part of my task is to draw together some commonalities from a period in our lives that has been diverse and unique for each one of us. But I think there are some universal memories that we can all identify with. I will always remember waiting in line the first day of orientation, anxiously but excitedly talking to the guy beside me about the grand adventure of law school we were about to embark on. He dropped out a few days later. I will remember the shock and bewilderment on the faces of my classmates as Jukier explained the concept of promissory estoppel for the first time. I'll remember all the urgent emails from Beretta warning about impending air duct repairs and stolen lockers. All the pointless arguments in the quid, the ridiculous amount of work that went into Halloween costumes, the snails, endless procrastination projects, and the 10,000 or so questions I would get every time I went home for the holidays. Are you a lawyer yet? Can I sue my landlord? McGill? Where's that? Tirana? Je crois que plusieurs d'entre nous s'entendront pour dire que l'école de droit s'apparente souvent à une montagne russe. À certains moments, je suis certain que beaucoup d'entre nous ont adoré l'école de droit et qu'à d'autres moments, nous avons souhaité n'avoir jamais entrepris ce programme. Nous nous sommes sentis comme les gens les plus brillants du monde et comme les pires idiotes de la Terre. Nous avons été un repas près d'être cassés, une mauvaise note de fondre en larmes et une mauvaise journée près de jeter l'éponge et de retourner vivre chez nos parents pour jouer au Xbox pour les 30 ou 40 prochaines années. Ou peut-être si bien je suis le seul qui avoir pensé à ça. These are experiences that we have shared for the past few years and challenges that we have faced both as students and as individuals. So today is as much about perseverance as it is about work skills and a degree. Thankfully, not one of us here got where we are alone. Behind each graduate is a person or people who have at different times given us the sufficient support and encouragement we needed to get through law school or just through the day. Parents and guardians who have supported us and been proud of us no matter what. Siblings who led by example and pushed us to succeed. Aunts, uncles, and grandparents who came through for us when money was tight. And the friends, classmates, partners, spouses, children, teachers, mentors, pets, etc., who poured out love and reassurance in times we needed it most. Whoever these important people were and are for you, I would like each graduate to take a moment to hold them in your mind and to give them a much-deserved thank you and round of applause. Il n'y aurait pas d'école de droit sans professeur de droit. Les profs à McGill sont non seulement des talentueux pédagogues, ce sont aussi des gens merveilleux. J'espère qu'aucun d'entre vous n'aura interprété nos absences en classe ou nos travaux moins qu'impeccables comme le reflet de la qualité de votre enseignement. Nous vous remercions pour votre travail chevronné et votre dévouement. C'est bien apprécié. I wish to end by noting that while these McGill gowns and pieces of paper we've just received mean many things, they do not define you who you are as a person. The person you are now is not one iota better or worse than the person you were before you crossed this stage. What will define you as you leave here today is the measure by which this experience, the highs, the lows, the adversity that you have faced, shape your integrity, perseverance, and compassion in the workplaces and families that you leave here to join and to build. In whatever capacity you decide to apply your gifts and your skills, don't expect, and indeed, don't hope that everything will be easy. Struggle is at the base of all growth, all progress, and all worthwhile changes and beginnings. A relatively unknown author once said, "We do not choose between a life of difficulty and a life of ease. We simply choose for what purpose we will work, sometimes suffer, and hopefully endure." D'après ce que je connais des individus qui composent les promotions de droit de McGill de 2012, j'ai pleinement confiance en votre habilité à prendre des décisions et contribuer à ce monde de façon merveilleuse. Voilà un groupe d'individus auquel je suis fier d'appartenir. Vous êtes des gens incroyables. Félicitations. Bonne chance, thank you, and goodbye.
Thank you, Mr. Gallant. Your words more than made up for my unfortunate introduction. I now know what it must feel like to arrive in court, open your briefcase, and realize that you have the wrong case before you. It's my pleasure now to ask Dean Daniel Jutra to say a few words to the graduating class. Dean Jutra.
A few words, that's going to be hard. Mesdames, Messieurs, chers amis, c'est avec un immense plaisir que je prends la parole pour rendre hommage aux diplômés de la promotion de 2012. La collation des grades est un moment fort de la vie universitaire. C'est une occasion festive, chargée d'émotions. C'est vrai pour vous, les hommes et les femmes de la promotion de 2012, et pour tous ceux qui vous applaudissent aujourd'hui. C'est vrai aussi pour tous ceux et celles qui sont rassemblés ici sur la scène pour saluer votre succès. We, your professors, are a bit emotional on this day. Before the ceremony comes to an end, I would like to take a moment to explain why we're so moved by the ritual of convocation. Now, this is a little introspective, but after the clown nose last year and then the jacket with philosophical inscriptions 2 years ago, I'm running out of stunts, so you'll bear with me on the introspection. So I want to begin by telling you what happened to me earlier this week. 3 days ago, I took advantage of one of those rare and spectacular Montreal summer days to walk down Peel Street and have lunch al fresco, as they say, in the city, outdoors in the city. I sat on a park bench and I ate my transsystemic sushi from a plastic box. Now, gliding past me on the sidewalk were scores of McGill students wearing caps and gowns, I think from the Faculty of Medicine, and they were all surrounded by proud friends and family members, and they were walking back from their own convocation ceremony. The office workers were sitting on the park bench. In fact, everybody there was spellbound. Everybody looked up. One could not help but stare and smile. This was an unusual sight, but a beautiful sight. And to me, this image captures the meaning of convocation for those of us who have chosen an academic life. It does so in two ways. First, this image of the students in the city, if you like, wearing unusual clothes, underlines the paradox of the university, at once anchored in the real world, present in the public space, and sheltered from it. Pour plusieurs d'entre vous, la collation des grades est peut-être vécue comme un départ, comme le passage d'une identité à l'autre, comme un moment marquant dans une transition importante de votre vie. Nonetheless, this idea that you're now moving from one state of being to another, as you would accede to a higher level on an Xbox, to use Ryan's reference, that's quite problematic in my view. It presupposes the university as a sheltered space, which is severed from reality, disengaged from the community, and indifferent to its challenges and aspirations. And yet, the real world is very much present in all that you've lived in the Faculty of Law, and you have been very much present in the real world. We, your professors, have seen you in the different lives you have lived at McGill. We've seen you write as gifted scholars, teach one another as reciprocal mentors, reach out to the community as responsible citizens. We've seen you learning to be advocates in the hallways of New Chancellor Day Hall, at the Legal Information Clinic, and on the streets of Montreal, Iqaluit, Cambodia, and Uganda. We've seen you struggle with moral dilemmas and stand on your feet to passionately defend the unlikely. We've seen you organize, mobilize, debate, and reflect. We've seen you wearing squares of all colors. We've seen you stand in the atrium full of hope to watch the Obama inauguration. And we've seen you mourn the tragic and senseless death of your classmate, Alexandra Dodger. We've seen you outraged, elated, compassionate, insightful, and yes, mildly intoxicated too. We've seen you worry about your future, juggle too many commitments, and fall back on your feet every time. Toutes ces vies que vous avez vécues à McGill sont ancrées dans le monde réel. Pour vous, comme pour nous, l'université n'est pas un abri, ni même un tremplin. C'est le lieu même d'une action sur le monde, manifeste dans vos petits gestes, comme dans vos actions d'éclat. En somme, la frontière qui est postulée par cette représentation de la collation des grades comme un grand départ n'existe pas. L'université vit, respire et agit dans la cité. You may feel like you're leaving the university now, but indeed, you never lived it as a separate world. You can never leave the university behind, and it will never leave you. This is how we academics think of convocation. Now, I want to be clear here. I don't mean that we are, as academics, trapped in the university and can't leave it, although some of you might have heard that. I mean that for us, convocation is not a moment of transition. It's not a moment of departure or a leap into the unknown of the world out there, whatever that is. Rather, for us, it is a recurring moment coming every year, a recurring moment in the annual cycle of university life, a privileged moment to acknowledge our connection to the world beyond the university. For us, convocation is a powerful expression of the extraordinary mission of the university as a social institution and a powerful reminder of the central place of students within this institution. Let me go back to my alfresco lunch and all those gowned graduates walking on the streets, surrounded by proud friends, parents, children, siblings, pets, and the like. I said it captured the meaning of convocation in two ways. Here is the second. This image for me highlights the unique identity of every student, each coming to the university as a distinct bundle of knowledge, values, aspirations, and human connections. Each of you came to McGill with a past, a family, a group of friends. Each of you came to McGill with a soul. Good news. The soul that you brought to McGill is intact and in pristine condition. In this respect, every convocation is, for us, the occasion to marvel at our extraordinary good fortune. Every year, somehow, we manage to bring to the Faculty of Law the very best that each generation has to offer. We live every day among young men and women who are alive, awake, passionate, and compassionate. And convocation brings it all to the fore. As we see you cross the stage, we think of all that we have learned from you and of the many ways in which you've touched our lives. Sarah, Ludo, Catherine, Joey, Mari, Patrick, Kier, Yuri, Adam, Ella, Jania, Joanie, Anthony, et ce matin, Ryan, la liste de ceux et celles qui m'ont appris quelque chose est trop longue pour que je la livre en entier ici. Each of us sitting on the stage has a long list like this. And each one of you graduating today is somewhere on one of these lists. Learning from you at every turn, sharing with you in a true community of scholars our passion for law and higher learning. This is the life of professors at McGill's unique Faculty of Law. This is our life, an incredibly fortunate one. I want to thank the men and women of the class of 2012 for sharing with us a bit of their lives. And so today, we celebrate your graduation with the hope that you will continue to be awake, alive, compassionate, passionate, and most of all, different. We hope you will dare to do the unexpected, to constantly reinvent yourselves, and to be, as I'm fond of saying, just a little weird, as you have in the past. That, if anything, is the McGill Law sound. Félicitations et longue vie à la promotion 2012.
Thank you, Dean Drutra, for such wise and illuminating words. Thank you. Would the graduating class please rise? À titre de chancelier de l'Université McGill, je déclare et confirme que chacun de vous a maintenant le droit à la distinction de grade, diplôme ou certificat qui vous a été conféré avec tous les honneurs, droits, privilèges et responsabilités qui y sont pertinents. In my capacity as Chancellor of McGill University, I declare and confirm that each of you is now entitled to the distinction of the degree, diploma, or certificate that has been conferred upon you with all the honors, rights, privileges, and responsibility that are pertinent thereto. Félicitations, congratulations. Will everyone please rise now? As I invite the Secretary General, Mr. Stephen Stropel, to deliver the benediction.
Go now in peace to share the gift of knowledge that has been entrusted to you. May this university and all graduates be diligent in the free and honest pursuit of truth for the benefit of all. Du que nous venions et où que nous allions, humbles et pleins d'espoir, nous nous laisserons guider par l'amitié et la solidarité, et nous craindrons en sagesse. May you be blessed all your days.
Thank you, the Secretary General. To conclude, I invite Professor Winston Purdy to sing our national anthem.
Thank you. Thank you.